just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Steve, it's that time of year again where we all gather together enjoying things that were written hundreds of years ago.
thousands of years ago.
I don't think it's a secret that I think that a lot of Christmas stuff is overdone and worn out and overused.
Yeah.
Christmas carols in particular, I feel like we get a new one once every 30 decades, maybe. And other than that, we just re-record the same ones over and over again. And some of those things I find exhausting, you know?
For what it's worth, I love the traditional music that's been around for hundreds of years. I think it's nice.
Blech.
Right?
No, and to be fair, I'm not saying that I hate Christmas or that I hate Christmas carols. What I do dislike, though, is that every artist comes out with their quote-unquote Christmas album. They're like, oh, I needed to put out a Christmas album. Did you? Because mm-hmm. you sang Jingle Bells and White Christmas. The same as everybody else has been singing for decades now. You know
I'll
what I mean?
Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
And so usually you would think that I would be irritated by the stories that get redone constantly too.
Right.
But there's one that's been going strong for a very long time that I don't get tired of, which is interesting.
This is interesting to me.
Is it?
Yeah, because it is. What is it?
It's a Christmas carol. It has been done and reskinned and reimagined probably millions of times by this point.
Oh, like, completely true.
I feel like everybody and their grandma has done a version or a reading or a movie or a musical. Like they do the Christmas carol to death all the time, right?
And every little community theater across the nation does it, and then they sell out and they have to run it for like 2 months straight.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
If you're running a small theater, bring in a Christmas carol for Christmas time. For some reason, people cannot resist it.
Yeah, when we open our theater, we're going to do it for the 4th of July.
And run it through the rest of the year.
Right. 6 month run of the Christmas carol.
Oh my gosh. Oh. We'd be out of business so fast.
Sure.
But it was written, of course, by Charles Dickens, and it was published first in 1843.
Oh, it's a brand new thing then.
Oh yeah, it's just
by Christmas standards,
spring chicken type of thing for sure. And since it was published, it's never been out of print.
Wow.
It's always being printed, apparently.
How about that?
And I
get it, Mr. Dickens.
I just find it so fascinating that we are all so enthralled with this version of a story that we consume it consistently without complaining.
Oh, it's true. Last year we talked about Mickey's Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did.
We
Mickey's
did.
Christmas Carol.
Mickey's
which
Christmas
I thought was absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
It was super cute.
Well, and it was very brief compared to a lot of Christmas Carol
adaptions. Oh, you're
adaptions.
Right. It totally was.
Mm-hmm.
It was lickety-split. We're going to have to watch it again this Christmas season.
We can. We could probably watch it 7 times and you wouldn't even remember it. But we're not talking about Mickey's Christmas Carol.
No.
We're not.
Highly recommended, though.
But I did find, before we jump into exactly what we're talking about, I found a quote from a biography written about Charles Dickens about why he wrote A Christmas Carol.
Oh, I love
because
a good
that's
quote.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, okay, what was he trying to convey? Obviously, Christmas spirit, yada, yada, yada. But this is somebody who did extensive studies on Charles Dickens and tried to figure out what his actual goal was for the time period. And Charles Dickens His life was touched by poverty many times, and he was a very big advocate of helping the underprivileged and especially children.
Yeah, I totally thought it was a story about rich people being awful.
Pretty much. The biographer wrote, "It was intended to open readers' hearts towards those struggling to survive on the lower rungs of the economic ladder and to encourage practical benevolence, but also to warn of the terrible danger to society created by the toleration of widespread ignorance and actual want among the poor." These are
job
things,
well done, sir.
Right?
Job
these well are done. Problems that consistently plague every society, it feels like. There are poor among us. There are people who are willfully ignorant. And it causes major issues for societies in general. So I think, like you said, mission accomplished for Charles Dickens, that this story illustrates how you need to be mindful of those around you. Don't be stingy. Don't be selfish. The goal is to bring up a society together, right?
Well, and it's worked, because every time I honk at anybody during the Christmas time period, I think, oh, I'm just being a Scrooge. I'm just being, you know, like, I'm like, I need to have a better spirit about this. And
yeah,
every time I walk by anybody collecting money and I bundle up my coat tighter and just walk away, I'm like, look at me literally being, you know, I keep saying Scrooge McDuck, but that's not at all
not
right.
Not quite. It's close. He was based on it. Then you have to start talking like Michael Caine, because today we're talking about Michael Caine's take on Ebenezer Scrooge in the Muppet Christmas Carol.
What a great Scrooge he was, too, right?
He actually has said that it's probably one of his most memorable performances is Scrooge in the Muppet Christmas Carol.
I can see that.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Like, literally, he told Brian Henson, who is the director, this was the first major project they did after Jim Henson died.
That's a big undertaking.
It is. And he told Brian Henson, who is his son, that he was going to play Scrooge like he was playing it on stage. He was going to play it straight. There's going to be no winks to camera. There's going to be no Muppety nonsense from him. It's all going to be straight, like Shakespearean acting, basically.
Muppety nonsense.
No Muppety nonsense, as I flip my wrist around like a Muppet. And the director's like, perfect, that's what we want. Because the Muppets are so broad in their comedy that you need an anchor that holds the story together while they bounce off the walls, basically.
Ah, it's true.
You know?
Worked out well.
It did work out well, because I love the Muppet Christmas Carol,
right?
Personally.
Yeah, and now I don't like Michael Caine because he's so mean in the show.
Oh, he's such a good actor. I hate him in real life. we have Michael Caine playing Ebenezer Scrooge, and then the Muppets kind of round out the rest of the cast, which I found interesting because Gonzo plays Charles Dickens in the movie, is his official title.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
How did
Gonzo come up with this?
Because he acts as the narrator, he identifies himself as Charles Dickens.
Mm.
And at first, his sidekick, Rizzo the Rat, is like, wait a minute, you're not Charles Dickens.
Right.
And he's like, I so am. And then he tells the story to prove that he's Charles Dickens, apparently.
Okay. Am I just crazy? I don't remember narrator in most of the other versions of it, right?
No, not really. I think they wanted to have a narrator in this version to bring in more of Charles Dickens' actual words. Because Charles Dickens was a genius with words. His way of describing things is always really interesting and engaging. And this A Christmas Carol in general has been cited as his most well-rounded story. Yeah. So I think they wanted to make sure that Charles Dickens' words were actually in the movie.
Oh, that's a nice way of doing it.
Yeah.
I wonder why other versions don't do it that way.
I don't know, honestly. Probably because there's so many characters already that sometimes adding a narrator in would be too much.
It is, yeah, yeah.
But the Muppets have never been afraid of being too much. It's never something that they've shied away from.
And Kermit in this movie too. He was absolutely fun.
Well, I think this is the first time that Kermit's been in a movie and not been the lead for a Muppet movie. He plays
that
a character's secondary
kind
character.
Of the lead, though.
Is he? I don't think he's not in most of the.
Isn't
movie.
That what Mickey played last time? In
yes, yeah. He was Bob Cratchit. Also,
there you go.
But I think they even followed Mickey a little bit more in the Mickey version than they follow Kermit in this one. Kermit does. I mean,
bet you're right.
He does get a song. He gets a musical number, and you know, he's a substantial part. But the lead is always Scrooge. He's always the main character.
That's true. Yeah.
A Christmas Carol goes.
Yeah, I can't think of a Muppet that could do Scrooge though.
I mean, they could build some.
Oh, that's true.
They have some meaner characters, but they. I mean, the hecklers turn out to be. ghosts in this one, which I always enjoy.
I love those hecklers so much.
And it's such a broad retelling, but then they're able to narrow in on all the emotional parts really well, apparently, in my opinion at least.
Yeah.
It's not too zany the whole time. So Michael Caine, Ebenezer Scrooge, Kermit the Frog as Bob Cratchit, and his wife, Emily, is played by Miss Piggy, naturally.
Naturally.
Of course. Right. And then they have three new characters that play the ghosts, past, present, and future ghosts.
Yeah.
So the Ghost of Christmas Past is always like sort of a melancholy, sad character.
Right.
Because it's, you know,
the past.
It's a little nostalgic sadness, I guess, or whatever. And Scrooge's past life is not exactly happy. So
it turns him into such a Scrooge.
Right.
Yeah.
And so usually it's a very, you know, muted, melancholy kind of character or whatever.
You would expect for Christmas.
Right. But in this one, it's a child. Like it's a child puppet. And it's one of the creepiest. I think it's personally, find it creepier than the Ghost of Christmas Future in this movie. Because it's just a creepy kid puppet. And they did it in such a way that they filmed the puppet underwater. So everything's like floating around it.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's something about it just creeps me
completely
out
creepy
every time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot about the Muppets recently that have shown their creepy side. You know, they've done things with the Muppets franchise in recent years, right? That shows that they have the ability to be pretty creepy. I'm glad that we didn't see much of it back then, and I'm glad that it's quickly going back away.
Well, I mean, they did. They did their Dark Crystals show on Netflix, which is incredible.
Yeah,
for those of you that are into the Muppet stuff, and if you didn't even like Dark Crystal that much but were impressed with the puppetry, the Dark Crystal stuff on Netflix is really impressive, and it's very dark, honestly.
That's a good point.
Much darker than even the movie was. So they have the ability to be off-putting and weird and creepy.
I
don't know that the Ghost of Christmas Past was intentionally creepy.
It was an accident.
They might have thought it was charming in some way, but I just think it's creepy. And they, you know, obviously they go back and show Scrooge his past, and they have some really great one-liner weirdness in his past. You know, when he's like, Sam Eagle says, it's the American way, and then Gonzo comes up and whispers to him, he's like, oh, I mean, it's the British way, because they're in Britain. So anyway, it's just a weird twist on the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah.
And then present is like a Santa Claus-esque type character for most things, right? I seem to remember in all the productions that we've seen, he's basically Father Christmas with the big coat and the beard and
right
so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So they didn't stray too far away from that in this one.
Which is good for them. It's good. I can support that.
Yeah, you're a fan.
I support that decision.
Okay. And then it gets real dark as you move forward into Ghost of Christmas Future. So much so that Rizzo goes, "Are we sure this is safe for kids?" And Gonzo's like, "It's culture. They'll be fine, you know." Because, of course, Ebenezer Scrooge sees what happens after he dies and how everyone's happy that he's dead, basically.
Well, yeah.
And they have real, again, some really dark stuff in that section.
Yeah.
Like they have one of their creepy spider puppets collecting things from his house and ooh, stuff. And, you know, it, just overall very unsettling and unpleasant in general.
Doesn't go well with Christmas.
Well, after he wakes up and realizes that it's all happened in one night.
Right.
Things get cheery again, obviously. But I was really appreciative of the fact that the Muppets weren't afraid to lean in a bit on the real severe stuff.
Yeah.
Because it makes the lighter stuff lighter, in my opinion, to have a really dark moment and have it come out of it with something more chipper. You know?
Okay.
You're all right with that too?
I wish everything was light and fluffy. Makes me happy. That's what I'm looking for in a movie.
It's definitely not the story of a Christmas
Carol. But not really necessarily, because Scrooge, like the live action version of Scrooge show, that was all light and playful, and I didn't enjoy it very much at all, right?
Do you mean Scrooged with Bill Murray?
Yeah.
Oh, that was not all light and playful. They had some scary stuff in there,
too. Did they have scary stuff in there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of that version.
The Herman guy freezes to death in the sewers.
Oh, that's true.
Again, another version that I love. Why do I love this story so much?
Yeah, I was going to say, because you said that you love this one a lot too, right?
I do. I love Scrooged with Bill Murray. I like A Muppet Christmas Carol. I like Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed most of the Christmas carols that we've seen live on stage. And, you know, so I guess there's just something universally acceptable about the whole story that allows us to be dark and light during a Christmas season.
I wonder how rich people feel about the show.
Well, let me get a couple million and I'll let you know. But I was also wondering this, why don't we have stories like this based on other holidays? Like, why doesn't Hanukkah have things like this? You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Like, we always talk about the Christmas spirit and how warming and family-based it is and things like that, which is great. But then I'm like, I have yet to see one Hanukkah movie that has the same emotional pull that all these Christmas movies seem to have. Is it just because we don't understand it as much, you think? Or do you think it's just a cultural thing?
This is a fantastic question. yeah, I would agree.
Because
I would like to know.
Yeah, because literally, I know very little about Hanukkah, honestly. But I, from what I gather, it has the same kind of things, gratitude, respect, reverence, you know, family togetherness. These are all things that are also celebrated during Hanukkah. So
where are... So you want a Hanukkah version of the Christmas Carol?
Yeah, that's what you the want Hanukkah to see? Carols.
The Hanukkah carols.
No, and I'm not saying that, you know, everything needs to be commercialized so we can all consume it the same way, but... You know, we have lots and lots of Christmas movies. I mean, Hallmark Channel makes at least 17 of them a year.
Right.
And they all have the same storyline and outcome. So why not a Hanukkah movie? Where are all the Hanukkah,
You know,
I'm just wondering out loud, I guess, just trying to figure out where all that is. But overall, I love A Muppet Christmas Carol just because I feel like the Muppets give it the opportunity to go over the top in every aspect. And I think that's what I like the most about the Muppet movies in general.
Right.
Is that there is no point where you stop and go, okay, now you've gone too far. Because the Muppets are just ridiculous. So they can go from being scary with Scrooge being haunted by his former business partners to them being funny, singing a song, and there isn't a break there for some reason, and it all just works together.
That is what's really great about the Muppets in general, I think, right? That's what we love about them so much, mm-hmm. is that ability that they have to play that both sides of the aisle so well.
Yeah.
You're just like, that's fantastic. Thanks. Thank you, Muppets.
There's just something about things coming out of a puppet that make it more acceptable.
Right.
Than...
because we felt the same way about it was Treasure Island, right? That we watched, yes. with it and stuff. That was, mm-hmm. so funny and
yeah, so much great. Better than a lot of the other dry versions that we watch.
Completely true.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, moving forward, do you think that the Muppets, now that they are going to be part of Disney Plus and all those sort of things, should they tackle more stuff like Treasure Island and like A Christmas Carol and try to do things that way? Or do you think that has run its course and they need to move to something new?
I think that the Muppets should teach me all of my American history that I need to know. Like, this should be an ongoing series. Like, American history brought to you by the Muppets.
And they I would watch it.
Right? That's what I think, too. They way better than drunk history, which apparently is not real.
It's not true. They had that show at Magic Kingdom that closed, that they would teach somewhat of American history, yeah. in Liberty Square. So if they could do something along those lines, I think people would be really happy to see it in a movie format.
Uh-huh. That's probably exactly where I stole the idea from, was that when they were teaching me my history at the Liberty Square.
Hey, I would be all about a Muppet history show. I think that would be fun to watch.
Oh, it's such a good idea.
If they'd be willing to tackle it, I'd be willing to watch it.
Muppets History Channel.
Yeah. Oh, but if you haven't seen The Muppet Christmas Carol, you should totally go watch it. It's on Disney Plus, obviously, but I'm sure it's all sorts of other places too. But it's like I always say, when a cold wind blows, it chills you to the bone.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-fingered point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app, and if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique, and we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.